Again, in our Bibles at this time, this evening, we now have been going through our discipleship course and have come to the conclusion. If you started back in January with us, we're coming to the conclusion of that discipleship course. I know there's some that have started throughout the last several months, and you might be concluding in 2 or 3 weeks, but in the plan of things, this is week 14 of 14 weeks of discipleship course that we've gone through in this continue series and with this program, and I've appreciated all that the Lord has taught me through this. And but it leaves us here in week 14 with what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart with a final challenge for us to continue. And for that, I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. There is never a point in our time in a Christian life that there ought not be a continued study of His Word. We will, until we get to heaven, there will always be more for us to continue to dive deep and to study and to learn and to apply. And I believe it is an aspect that is missed oftentimes, is a thorough study of the Word of God and of the things of God from His Word by the people of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll be in verse number 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that as we conclude this series of study, that this would not be the conclusion or the end of our studying of Your Word, that it would just be a beginning, it'd be a launching out point, that we would continue in this endeavor in each and every one of our lives personally. I pray that You'd use tonight, use this passage, use this message to affect exactly what You would like to happen tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Christian life was never meant to be a sprint that you hurry through a certain set of study and then it's over. It is the aspect of studying and walking with God is an aspect of continuation. Paul writes here to a young Timothy, and Paul is at the end of his life and Timothy is a young man, but his tone is urgent. The world is getting darker, verse 13, and deception is increasing, and the pressures are mounting. And this was Paul's instruction. Don't just try something new. Not just reinventing your faith or finding a new method or program. He says, continue thou. One of the greatest dangers in the lives of Christians who fall away is not the falling away suddenly, but gradually. That man, we're excited about this study, we're getting in and studying deep on these topics week in and week out every day, going through these devotions and moving through these topics of study and digging into the Word of God and excited about it. And then it's over. And so our study of God's Word begins to fade. And that ought not be so. That ought not be so. If you've ever seen, for sake of illustration, Brother Mike, you're up at camp when we have teen and family camp. Well, we always have a bonfire, and we love having a bonfire. We get around, and it's blazing. And as long as we're roasting s'mores, man, we want that high enough that it'd be a lot of work not to light your s'more on fire. But then unless you douse it with water, unless there's something that comes in and intervenes, it just doesn't go out right away. It'll slowly die down and get smaller. And that fire's still going a little bit even after the flames are gone. And sometimes if you don't put it out right, you come back the next morning and it's still slowly getting smaller and smaller and smaller. There's maybe some embers left. And many Christians don't crash out. They slowly just stop feeding the fire of our study of God's Word. This message tonight, I want to be a challenge and a charge to us is to continue in the Word, to continue in your walk, to continue in the work also of going out and making other disciples also. We ought to, first of all, continue in what we have learned. What we've learned some things, I tell you, even as the preacher, there were aspects of this study that was so beneficial, and I learned a lot. We're first commanded, though, to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Truth must be continued, not just received. We've studied it, we learned it, now it's time to live and to continue doing what we already have learned, we already know to be the truth. It's time to continue taking those steps. Learning's not enough. Continuing is the proof that you've actually learned it. James chapter 1 verse 22 talks about this, talks about us being doers of this word, doers of what we've learned from God's word, not just hearers only. Most sit, many will sit, listen and nod, and some come into church and they'll nod off. Right, we'll sit, we'll listen, we'll nod, we'll agree, maybe even say amen. But why can you come into church and do all those things and not continue in these truths? Well, because assurance comes from application. Things that has been assured of. These truths become real to us when we live them. We talk about soul winning. The idea of winning the lost and rescuing the perishing is theoretical almost, unless you're involved in doing that. Truths become real and become a real part of our lives when we put them into action and we live these truths. We talked about prayer in this study, but I tell you, you're not going to continue unless you're living a life of prayer. Not just learning about it, living it, applying it. We were taught to read the Bible and how to study God's Word and preach the message about having His Word and knowing it, but living it. Well, continue reading. We're taught to reach the lost and witness for Christ. Continue witnessing. Remember what we've learned. Paul even points back to what he's been taught. He said, you've been taught from a young age by faithful people, godly examples, spiritual investment in your life. Don't forget it. So let's not forget what we learned, but let's take this and continue in what we've learned. Continue in the Scriptures. It says, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures lead to salvation. But the Bible is more than just informative. It ought to be transformative in our lives. And our study ought to only deepen after we leave church here tonight and say, hey, we can check that book off. We've gone through the study of the Continue series. Here we've gone through this discipleship study. No, it ought to deepen. I'd encourage you to say, I'm done with this. What's next, preacher? Well, there are some programs we can move through. I really like the program of the ABCs of Christian growth. You say, why do you like it? Because every single fill in the blank, the answer's in the Bible. I like that aspect of it a lot. So that's 26 weeks. All right. Well, they also have the ABCs of Christian maturity. Those will take you a little longer. Those are a little bit deeper, a little bit more difficult. So what if I've already done that? We've got people in this room, I've already done that, preacher. Well, I'll tell you, we have a through a Bible Institute here, we've got a couple of young men here that are going through right now a course on that is an all-encompassing course. Doesn't mean you learn everything about the Bible, but it goes from Genesis to Revelation, one verse at a time. And taking a deep dive. You say, that sounds like a lot to chew. It is. It's very involved. There are quizzes. There are tests. There is an aspect of really learning and digging deep into God's Word and studying His Word for yourself. And it's what I strive to challenge you to do is to continue in His Word. You say, what do I do when I'm done with that? Well, you ought to continue to study God's Word, and there's ways to do so where you won't get done and exhaust this book and everything you ought to know in a lifetime. You can't. You take topics in the Bible, studying the topic of pride, and you can go through the Bible and search out every single mention in the Bible of pride, and the opposite of it is humility. And you could spend months just studying that one topic. Not what man has written about it, but what does the Bible say? Continue thou in what? In the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. We ought to study the Word of God. This ought to have been the first quarter of this year a starting point, a launching pad to a deeper study of the Word of God. The Scriptures are inspired by the Word of God. We covered that. I think it was one of our first topics we covered about how God breathed these words and inspired these words. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they're profitable for our lives. Paul gives four purposes for the Bible listed here, and that's not exhaustive. He says profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what is right and true. They're profitable for reproof. It points out what is wrong. The Scriptures are profitable for correction. It tells you then, when it points out where you're wrong, it tells you how to get right. The Word of God, the Scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's how to stay right. The answers are all in here. You want to live the right kind of Christian life? This is where you need to put your focus, is God's Word. Not trying to find some author out there that has figured out how you can follow some process. It's right here. The Bible will tell you what is true and what is right, what is wrong and what is false, how to get right and how to stay right, how to walk and live right. The Bible doesn't just have a gospel that leads to salvation. It has a framework in here that ought to shape and transform our lives, and we ought to continue in those truths. Scriptures will fully equip you for exactly what God has in store for your life. The Bible says here, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You don't need philosophy. You don't need a new system. You don't need a, can I tell you, you really don't need a Bible college degree. People say, I need this degree and that degree. I tell you, a degree, you'll never go in my office and see a degree on the wall. Why? Because a degree doesn't make a Christian and a degree doesn't make a pastor. The Bible is where the answers are found. The Bible will equip you. The Bible will make you the Christian you ought to be if you will continue in these truths. You need to continue in this book. We need to not dismiss the commonly understood and known verses like Psalm 119 where it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Say, Pastor, I know that verse. Well, let's live it. Let's live it. A lot of Christians, our own ideas are the light to our path and we're stumbling our way through. Or other people's that know the Bible. The Bible. And it ought not be a 14 weeks of allowing that to happen. It ought to be a lifetime of that happening. For sake of illustration, can you imagine a soldier going through boot camp and learning to be proficient with his rifle? A bunch of us men, we're going to go get proficient tonight with our rifles after church. You go back and get proficient with your rifle and go through training and training with your weapon and you go through that time of training and study. And then when battle time comes, says, all right, that was good. Leave that behind. No. You're going to continue. And this is our weapon. And in the spiritual warfare, the Bible is our sword. The Bible, the only part of the armor of God that is offensive And not just defensive, is the Bible. This is how we fight the spiritual warfare in our lives. This is how we fight temptation. This is how we overcome difficulties. This is how we grow in the Lord. The Word of God is exactly what we ought to be continuing in and not taking our foot off the gas pedal, diving deep into God's Word, gaining a love and a delight for His Word. Continue in His Word, but also continue in the work of discipleship. Paul's message doesn't just stop with personal growth. The goal is that, yes, you would seek further personal growth, but then you ought to see multiplication. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "In these things which thou hast heard of me." Remember, he just talked about these things that he has learned. "Continue thou in those things." But then he says, "These things, these same things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He says, yes, you continue thou in these things, and then you go find others and teach them how to do so also. So much so that then they ought to be able to go disciple and teach others. Christianity is not meant to be terminate with the individual. It's meant to be received and then to be reproduced. And that doesn't just come from the pulpit and a preacher. It ought to be in your homes, with your children, with your family. It ought to be that you purposefully, prayerfully seek out others to study the Word of God with. I'd encourage you, it doesn't mean that you say, "Hey, I'm seeking somebody who's not saved to do a Bible study with so they can come to Christ." Yes, that is exactly right. That is wonderful. But there's also seeking those who are young babes in Christ and helping them along. My son's learning how to walk right now. His big record is two steps. But he's not going to learn that by himself. You got to help him along. Help him along. And babes in Christ, you come alongside, say, "I'd love to study the Word of God with you." I'll tell you, senior saints in Christ ought to study the Word of God together. Why? Because it is everything. We all need discipleship. We ought to be iron sharpening iron one with another. Say, what are you asking, Pastor? I'm asking that you invest something. You invest your personal time and personal study and continuance in the study of the Word of God. I'm asking that you invest your time. I'm asking that you invest your compassion. It's not checking a box of just, "Hey, I need to go through this with you," and da da da. No. Just, you have to care for somebody if you're going to actually disciple them. I'm asking that you invest in people. What is effective in people's lives is when you invest time, compassion, and teaching. And take what you have learned and commit thou to others, to other faithful people who will then be able to teach others also. Go ye, therefore, and teach. Discipleship requires intentional effort. If we're going to do this, we first have to intentionally go and find somebody. Go and find somebody. I've had occasionally people that have come to me, especially as a pastor, say, "Hey, could I do a Bible study?" Great. The majority of folks that I have had the wonderful privilege of working through and discipling are people I have intentionally sought out and say, "Hey, I have a burden for so and so. I'd seek them out. Hey, could we get together? Could we have a cup of coffee? Could we work through and study the Bible together?" Intentionally go and find somebody. Intentionally invest in them. It's in order to invest into somebody, into anything, it's going to cost you. If you're going to invest in your retirement someday, it means giving of something today, right? You put maybe 6-8% of your income into a 401k, and your whoever you work for maybe matches that. Any investment costs something. You're going to invest into them. It means giving of yourself to the betterment and growth of somebody else. Well, that requires a good dose of unselfishness. Because I have a lot of ideas of what I want to do with my time. And it's saying, hey, I'm going to be unselfish with my time. And invest my time, my effort, my care, my concern, my compassion into somebody else so that they can be a disciple of Christ as well. And what ought we to teach them? I'll warn you, in the process of discipleship, you ought to intentionally make sure that you are teaching others God's Word. I've seen where discipleship goes wrong is when you get somebody and you're working with them and you're studying the Word of God and it becomes all of your pet peeves. Well, I think this, and let me tell you this, and or it becomes a gossip session, or it becomes, let me tell you what book I'm reading and this great grandiose idea. I tell you, you ought to teach and disciple people in the Word of God. It is what will be effective. It is what will not return void. It is what will transform lives. And then walk with them. It is a matter of, similarly to being a pastor, that the majority of my job as a pastor does not happen in just instruction from a pulpit. It happens in walking with the folks in the pews through the trials and problems in their lives, and learning and studying and walking with individuals. And if you're going to work with somebody and have an intentional effort to disciple an individual and go through a Bible study with them, and I'm asking and challenging you to do so, to decide I'm going to find someone that I'm going to personally work with on this to this end. Well, it's going to mean more than just sitting and studying with them. It's going to mean praying for them daily. It's going to mean being a part of their lives and getting to know their joys and their trials and to walk shoulder to shoulder with them and to maybe shoulder some burdens with them. That's the compassion part of that investment. That's what makes it real and effective. The goal is multiplication, not addition. A disciple who makes another disciple is greater than 10 who only sit, or 100 who only listen. When we started this course, I challenged the church on discipleship and the fact that the multiplication aspect designed for Christians in the Bible is effective. If I look out here, let's say there's 65, 70 people here tonight. Let's say 50 of us are able to be at an age that we could do something like this. And I'm challenging you to go and find somebody to work with, to study the Word of God with, and to make a disciple. That if 50 of us were over the next rest of this year to go find somebody and to work with them and to bring them up alongside of us, we'd be sitting here a year from now saying, well, now 100 of us need to go, right? Because then they'd be sitting next to you right here. And if you did that again, the next year we'd be talking about 200, 400, 800, 1,600. You say in 5 years, 1,600. Yeah. Not for the purpose of having a big church, but for the purpose of God, I don't believe, is delaying his return because for Christians to sit around, but because he has work for Christians to do. He has souls for us to reach and to save and disciples to make. And God is still in the business of doing big things. But I think sometimes we have the wrong idea of what it means to see God do big things. that is just going to happen with us sitting on our hands. It's going to happen with us as Christians investing our time and our compassion and our effort. And hey, it's hard to teach and work with somebody from the Bible if you're not continuing in and studying the Word of God. You have to do that first, and then you continue in the work of making disciples. So that when you see Jesus, it's not by yourself, that when Christ comes back and we stand before our Lord, we can look around and say, my pockets didn't have a lot of money. My wallet was empty a lot growing up, living in this world. But there's a whole crowd behind me because I invested in something that wasn't down at Idaho Central Credit Union, but in something that is in Heaven's Credit Union. And that is reaching the lost and making disciples. And I'd encourage you lastly, and I'm almost done, to continue despite difficult times. Being involved in the work of continuing to do right, continuing in study of the Word of God, and continuing to make disciples, hey, that is really easy about 5% of the time. Because there are times when I want to get up, I look at my wife, we're trying to figure out taking shifts with the kids in the morning to try to make sure that we've just realized effective devotions are not going to happen with kids squirming in our laps. So we take shifts. All right? Difficulties are going to come. The devil's going to put obstacles in your path. It's not always going to be easy to continue thou in these things. But I encourage you to continue despite difficult times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You know what the Bible says? Is the world terrible and against us? Yeah. The Bible says, it's going to get worse. But continue thou. Right? Continue thou. The context of continuing thou is in a declining world. It's not in a perfect world full of roses and daisies where everything goes right and there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. No, in a declining world that's against us and a devil that is fighting us, continue thou. In the midst of problems where you're discouraged about about your kids or discouraged about finances, continue thou. When it seems like you can't make time to do right, to study, to work with and disciple others, continue thou. When you feel like you don't have the energy, continue thou. The world will get darker. The world will get worse the closer we get to the Lord's coming. But continue thou. Don't try to adjust your faith to the culture. Consistency is victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I tell you, that ought to be the story of the lives of the Christians at Mountain Valley Baptist Church. Hey, we're steadfast. Come what may, we're unmovable. Somebody come and try to move us off from standing on truth and continuing in these truths we've learned and continuing in our study and discipling and others. Unmovable. Why? Because our anchor's in the Lord. I was talking to Ezekiel last night, kind of bewildered and sadly wondering how do people, when they backslide, how do they stray so far? And it's similar to, have you ever been out on an ocean or a large body of water? The Great Lakes that I grew up by were almost as big as an ocean. But you get around a large enough body of water and you got anchored down, you're going to stay put. It's no land in sight, you stay put. But if you pull up anchor and you go from unmovable to very movable, you won't even realize that you've drifted miles. Miles. It still looks like the same ocean. Miles off course. You say, how did you get way out here? You pulled up anchor. Our anchor ought to be in this word, continuing in thou in this word, continuing in these truths. steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then finishing well matters more than even starting strong. I don't like running all that much anymore. I used to like running. Probably has to do with I used to be a lot lighter and I'd run a lot easier. But I liked running. I think I liked running because I was fast, because I like winning. And I like the feeling when you get past and you get into that second wind when you're running, and it just seems like you can just run faster and faster, and nothing could stop you. Like you're flying. I used to run cross country growing up. We went at cross country at our school and there in Indiana. And my mom would work with us on running and work with us on running. And there are different ways. When you started, you want to start strong, but you didn't want to just start a sprint. You started and set a strong pace. And you'd keep that pace. And you keep going and keep a good, steady pace moving forward. But then when we'd come down and I could see third of a mile out, you could see the finish line. That's when you sprint. That's when my mom would talk about set a point about 10 yards past the finish line and you run through the finish line. That is what you're running towards. And you ought to fall over because you ought to sprint through to where you have nothing left. And I'd encourage you, I've continued, but now I'm at a point in my life where I'm old and I'm tired. I'd encourage you, continue thou and finish well. Continuing might mean doing a little less than you used to do, but continue thou. Let it be that you, like Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has given you right now. God has given you the energy you have right now, the abilities you have right now, and the opportunities you have right now. Continue thou right now in the race that's set before you. Paul gives a charge and a challenge that I want to bring in and ring true, I believe, here today. To continue thou. To continue when it's hard. To continue when it just seems like it's routine. To continue when no one is watching. And to continue when others quit. Continue in these truths. Continue in your study of this word. Continue in the work of making disciples. And continue even when it is hard. Don't stop. This isn't a finish line. This is a starting point. Continue thou in these truths. It's a challenge to myself and a challenge that I want to personally give to you tonight. I want you to practically and personally decide tonight, how are you going to be sure that you're not going to let up the gas on your study, but you're going to continue in these truths and continue in the work of making disciples. Think about it. You ought to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're not going to do it. What is your next step? I've listed some options. I'd love to work with you on finding a next step of study. I could work with you personally on that. So I'd like to study with some. Great. I'd be happy to make our building available as a place and help you in any way that encourages you to study the Word of God one with another and seek others to bring in and disciple. Continue thou, even if it's hard. I should rephrase that, not if it's hard, when it's hard, because it will be. But continue thou. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these truths. We thank you for this study. We thank you for the commitment of those here tonight that have gone through this study of discipleship, topic after topic after topic, digging deep into your word on each of these topics. I pray that we would not let up and slack off, and this wouldn't be an end point, but a starting point. And Lord, that we would see a multiplication effect of going out and finding others, of making disciples personally, of committing what we have learned to others who will then be able to teach again others. Lord, that we'd see this as a starting point of something great in the lives of our church, in the ministries of our church, and in the families of our church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'd